And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you on this Tuesday, the 11th of March, 2025. It is 5 minutes past nine and we are live with you for the next 3 hours here on the 9 to noon show. I'm looking forward to it. And we are looking forward to having your interactions with us as well. I'd say there's plenty that you'll want to get involved in terms of conversation, because there's quite a few big issues knocking about today. If you want to WhatsApp or text us, and we want to hear all of your views, even if you've never texted a radio station before, your view is incredibly important to us. 086 60 25 000, that's the WhatsApp and text number. If you're outside the Republic, 00353 86 60 25 000. If you want to give us a call, Caroline and Shannon taking your calls on 074 91 25 000. And if you want to email, it's comments at highlandradio.com. And also, don't forget, if you're listening to the podcast or the overnight repeat, feel free to share your views. We'll pick them up and carry them over until the next live show. And of course, if you want to watch the program today, we're the only station in the country that does it, for good or bad. You can watch the show. We're on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, which means we're good for the app, but also on your smart TV, your Fire Stick, if you are at home or work from home. And also, we're on Facebook and on the X platform as well. Right, before we go to the papers, just Lee mentioned there our 35th birthday charity drive. And I just want to give you a quick early mention of this, if you don't mind, because we've got a great competition for you on Friday. It's a €1,000 cash giveaway by nine. We're giving away €9,000 in cash over 9 hours on Friday as part of our open day, where we've mixed up the programming and we've got loads of fantastic guests coming into studio, and we're inviting you to come up to and visit us here at Highland Radio at the Mountaintop in Letterkenny. But just for €10, you're entered into a draw with €9,000 in total of cash prizes, and we're going to have nine €1,000 draws. Now, there ain't 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 people entering this competition, so it's good odds for you potentially to win. So it's simple. €10. You could win one of nine €1,000 prizes. You could win them all, because the tickets will go back in, but in terms of odds, you know yourself. Those draws will take place on Friday. So if you want to be in all of those draws, now is the time to get your ticket. Go onto our website, highlandradio.com. It's fully safe and secure and simple. But if you want to give us a call, we'll process the tickets for you as well. 074 91 25 000. And in fact, if you're just dealing cash and you're passing, call in and we'll sort you out. So that's not bad, is it? €10, just one ticket, and you could win €9,000 in lumps of one. Do you get where I'm coming from? Now, that would be good enough, wouldn't it? No problem, get involved with that. But as you know, there's more to it, because we are giving the money raised to Donegal Cancer Flights and Services, the Bluestack Special Needs Foundation, and Huey's Corner. And you'll have heard the ads during the ad breaks, and of course on this programme, the conversations where we found out and learned or relearned the fantastic work that Donegal Cancer Flights and Services do. When people get that terrible news of a diagnosis and they're facing long travel distances to Dublin or to Galway or wherever it might be, the crew at Donegal Cancer Flights and Services are there to support them and take the pressure of travel away from them, wherever they are in the county. The Bluestack Special Needs Foundation do amazing work in helping young people fulfill their potential. Every young person has different potential. They help them all achieve the very best. They help people with special needs or additional needs to get into the workforce. They bring people out of themselves. They boost confidence. And they all do it from Donegal Town and satellite offices, and do amazing work there. All of the work they do in that regard is publicly funded. Huey's Corner, another fantastic charity that was born from a family's loss. It was realised that a young person, after they had passed, their siblings didn't have necessarily counselling services or support services to help them deal with that type of loss. And unfortunately, this does happen very regularly. Huey's Corner is there. It relies solely on charitable donations. So the point being, in buying your ticket, €10, you can win €1,000. You have nine chances to win €1,000 on Friday. But the money goes then directly to these three amazing charities. And dependent on how generous you are, depends on how much. We had a great act of generosity at the Highland Radio Hospitality Awards there last Sunday. It's hard to keep track of the days. Sunday past, €2,000 was raised there. So that's in there. That's ready to go to be split amongst the charities. It's just a case of how generous you want to be. I know money's tight, but maybe you can spare a tenner. Go onto our website, highlandradio.com, or you can give us a call at 07491 25000. But if you do it today, it's done then. You don't have to worry about it. And you don't have to answer your phone, by the way. If your ticket comes out of the Trombola, you've won. We do like to have a chat because we can have a bit of crack with you, but you don't have to answer your phone. You don't have to. There's no rings. There's no nothing like that there. Your ticket comes out. It's associated to your name, and you've got €1,000 cash to spend over St. Patrick's weekend. So, as I say, if you do feel generous today, we really would appreciate helping us support Donegal Cancer Flights and Services, the Bluestack Special Needs Foundation, and Huey's Corner. And you've got that incentive of 9 chances to win €1,000 on Friday. So please, don't want to beg, don't want to rattle the bucket too much, but I'd love a wee boost for them this morning. As I say, the website, highlandradio.com, simple, safe, secure, but you can give us a call as well, 07491 25000. It's Tuesday. Get it out of the way. By the time Friday comes, you've probably spent 25 quid in coffee and you'll have forgot you ever bought that ticket, but you'll be doing amazing work. Even that one ticket, €3.33 for Huey's Corner, Bluestack, you know, you multiply that up and it's really significant funding for them. So thanks in advance for your generosity. We really want to be able to hand over fantastic checks on behalf of the Highland Radio family. Let's look at the newspapers this morning. The Donegal Democrats out. Alan Vile and Nikita Burns have been sentenced to life imprisonment for the murder of Robin Wilkin. Vile, 39, from Drumannan Head, Kitty Beggs, and Burns, 23, of Carrick, had pleaded not guilty to Mr. Wilkin's murder in Donegal on June 25th, 2023. A jury found each guilty of murder by majority, 10-2. Verdicts yesterday following a 2-month trial. Mr. Justice Paul McDermott offered his condolences to the family of Mr. Wilkin before imposing the mandatory life sentences in respect of each defendant. Vile's sentence was backdated July 14th, 23, when he first went into custody. Burns' sentence was backdated to August 29, 2023, presumably there for the same reasons. Water charges are back on the front pages. I wonder, has public attitude changed? Are we still, and when I say we, I'm not talking about my opinion, but we incredibly opposed to the water charges. Do you remember the protests? Or has attitudes changed a little bit that people see it as a very important commodity that can't be wasted and needs to be paid for? I don't know the answer to that. I suspect I do, but I don't know. But households could face charges for excessive water use this year, 8 years after legislation was passed to allow for the move. Introducing the charges is a high-level priority for the Department of Housing, which says work on finalising the arrangements will be completed soon. The charges, expected to be capped at €500 a year, will apply to homes using abnormally large amounts of water. Some would say this is the first tranche of it. Look, they've continued to put in the infrastructure. They have the legislation on the books. It was just a case at the start, presumably, of a government term on pulling the trigger. They are aimed, the charges, primarily at households or householders who fail to fix leaks on their property or refuse to address other preventable causes of excessive water use. Every home would have a free allowance of water that Uisce Éireann, formerly Irish Water, says is well above the average annual domestic usage. Households larger than 4 people or with a member who has particular health issues would qualify for extra allowances. The department said the charges were necessary because of strains on water supply and to comply with EU legislation. I'm thinking of water wastage, and I can't help but think of the conversation we had with the gentleman last week. He was talking about water running down the bottom of Long Lane in Letterkenny for a couple of weeks. He'd reported it. Nothing had been done. But anyway, the department said it's not intended as a revenue raising measure. Before implementing the household water conservation charge, regulations relating to the provision of extra free allocations for people with health needs and for households to seek additional allowances based on household size need to be prepared. So the simple question is, what do you think about that? They say it's not revenue gathering, but they say that too about speed cameras. They are saying that it would only be those who refuse to fix leaks on their property or who are excessive users of water. Maybe they have a swimming pool. I don't know. You know, the old usual arguments. But it looks like, particularly at the start of the government term, as you can imagine, they're not going to do this in the last year of a government term. They want this done and dusted really, really soon. What do you think about it? Do you think, as a conservation measure, it's the right way forward? Do you think that this is the start of it? This is the water rates finally coming in, pardon the pun, drips and drabs. Let me know. 086 60 25,000. Interested in your views too on the story in the front of the Irish Times. About 1 in 20 school children are being diagnosed with autism, a threefold increase in under a decade, Department of Education figures show. The growing incidence is placing strain on the school system as authorities scramble to find appropriate places for children with additional needs. Dozens of parents protested earlier this month outside the department as part of a sleep out to draw attention to shortages of school places for children with special needs. Official records show the department has moved from using an estimated autism prevalence rate of 1.5 to 1.6% among children several years ago to 5% now. It says this means at least 400 new special classes and 200 new special school places will be required every year for the next 3 years to keep pace with demand. The need for special education places at second level is also projected to increase significantly. But, I mean, obviously that is a significant increase. Are we diagnosing better? Is the net being cast wider in terms of what qualifies for an autism diagnosis? Is there some other trigger to it? I mean, all of those conversations are going to be triggered, aren't they? Do you have any views on that? I'd imagine those of you a certain age, and I know a lot of people get diagnosed with certain conditions late in life, and then their school years all of a sudden make a great deal of sense, right? So maybe we're just catching up on the cases that were already there. But 1 in 20 5% seems quite significant, doesn't it? What do you think? 086 60 25,000. The company at the centre of the 6.7 million euro failed IT system fiasco at the Arts Council also oversaw two Department of Agricultural projects that ran almost €1 million over budget. Irish tech firm Codec was contracted by the department in 2019 and again in 2022 to overhaul its consumer helpline system, which previously relied on staff in call centres, and develop a new chatbot service, that's AI effectively, which is all crap. Anytime I try and engage in a meaningful way with AI, it really doesn't work out well. The answers are not really accurate, I've found, and I've been quite thorough in relation to that. And also chatting to chatbots like Amazon, I've invested very heavily in it, and I find it also pretty crap. But anyway, while the projects, which cost a combined total of 3.3 million, were successfully delivered, both ran over budget. The first project saw an overspend of roughly 600,000 euro, with the second amassing overruns of 370,000 euro. What's going on? Where is the oversight? Where is the accountability? Who's at fault? Why is one company allowed to run over budget on two projects and then completely make a mess of a third? How can you keep getting these contracts? What's going on? I would love to be able to be so fast and loose with people's money and then still make money myself. What a life that would be. You know, just waste money, but also make money. But that's what these some of these companies seem to be able to do. On to the Star now. And the builders at the centre of the defective concrete block controversy in Donegal must make discovery of thousands of key documents, along with test results requested by homeowners, a High Court judge has ordered. Mr Justice Mark Sanfi in the Commercial Court directed that the discovery be made by Cassidy Brothers Concrete by 5 p.m. yesterday. He said what disturbed him was that, I might not continue reading that there, because they're not builders, they're providers, aren't they? I'll not read that because I'm not sure about that story, but he's talking about builders and providers, and I just want to make sure that's accurate. I'll review that and just make sure it hasn't been, they haven't conflated two issues there, just to be sure not to get in any bother. But I will go back to that. The Irish Daily Mirror this morning. Big change in the profile of hotel residents. We know that some time ago, many, many, many spaces in hotels were taken up by asylum seekers. But the figures dropped really quite significantly. Just 7% of hotel rooms are now being used for accommodation for those seeking asylum, the tourism minister said yesterday. Shame this has come at the time where the backside seems to be falling out of the tourism market. But anyway, Patrick O'Donovan said this is down from 13% at the height of the accommodation crisis. The government has also predicted more hotel beds will be available for tourism this summer, with 12,000 returning to the system last year alone. Mr. O'Donovan confirmed the figures to Independent TD Matty McGrath following a dog question asking about the steps he's taking to address the policy to use hotels and tourism accommodation for international protection accommodation service applicants. He stated that the total proportion of hotel accommodation being used for humanitarian accommodation has fallen. Now, it doesn't tell the whole story because there are still some areas that their entire hotel accommodation is going to be taken up, but it's 7% of hotel rooms taken now for these purposes compared to 13% at the peak. But as I say, it's not actually right across the industry. It's in certain areas that are very much reliant on tourism. But I do note that even some iPass applicants who had been in hotels, and there was big controversies about it a couple of months ago, they seem to be moving to accommodation elsewhere in some cases. And finally, potentially, the start of a sequence of events that maybe finally could lead to an end of hostilities in Ukraine. Volodymyr Zelensky landed in Saudi Arabia last night ahead of peace talks with the US. The Ukrainian leader was due to meet Saudi ruler Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman in Jeddah last night. Discussions between his senior officials and a US team led by Secretary of State Marco Rubio will then kick off today. Zelensky is not involved in those conversations. He has a team that will do that. They will come 11 days after the huge White House row between Mr. Zelensky and US President Donald Trump. The US has since suspended military aid to Ukraine and stopped sharing intelligence in the war effort against Russian tyrant Putin. I thought that they had lifted the stay on sharing intelligence. I did note it was still referenced as being in place on RTE this morning. It's in the papers today. But I thought that I had read that intelligence sharing had recommenced. Anyway, that was a run through some of the stories on the front of and inside the papers today. We have lots coming up. Coming up after 10, we have Community Guard information, where you hear the very latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána O'Connor First here on Highland Radio. That and so much more besides, including a very interesting conversation of a man's experience of studying in Letterkenny and the impact it had on him. All of that on the way. On the show yesterday, we spoke to a caller called Brian. He was concerned about, I suppose, the overall infrastructure of Convoy, with it growing, expanding. But particularly, it started off with concern about crossings at the two local schools. And he says he's made representations to the council, and he believes something has to be done before something bad happens. Councillor Patrick McGowan is joining us now, actually. Good morning to you, Patrick. Thanks for your time.
Morning, Greg.
This is an issue that is across the table of the local reps and the council. Would you sort of concede, but agree that there is an issue in terms of safety infrastructure in the area?
Yeah, well, look, I would say, first of all, Convoy have been worse than a lot of the other towns throughout the county, but that in particular has been a problem, particularly outside the schools. Now, saying that, as you know, the government came in with an initiative about couple of years ago, so they call it the Green Safe Ways to Schools. Now, we're very fortunate in our MD. We had one of the first in the county down there in Rafoe, and MD drive through. Rafoe can see the fantastic jobs, about 100 metres on either side of the school and right across. So you have new footpath layouts, park and drop off, and ramps and lights and everything. So actually, within our MD, Convoy is the next in our list. We're then Convoy, and then after that, it's Shishinay. Like, we didn't pick these, there's a very strict criteria. So at least the St. Bridget's School and Convoy is on that. That's across from Town Park. So they have our design office in Liverpool has been doing some design work. And that obviously all these things, this is passed to the department, and then they'll determine what speed we go at. But another thing I must very much welcome, something I've been pushing and speaking to a lot of people in Convoy about is a lot of schools in the interim take measures themselves. Like we had it years ago in St. Mary's National School in Stranorder, where parents are encouraged to drive into the car parks and round the back out again, and then drop off their children and they exit. So you don't have a hope of parents dropping up at the last minute, children running here and there.
And do you think that's kind of contributing to some of the issues in Convoy that in the interim,
oh,
maybe?
Of course. Yeah. Right, look, it's very much so, and a lot of the schools look around the county. You look at 5 minutes to nine, coming last minute, running here, parents running this way, children running. So you can see it every school.
So you're saying parents need to be a bit better organised in the mornings?
Not a bit, a lot better. Even going up Lurgy Brack, I pass it, and we all talk about New Pass it, like, it's crazy. And when you actually drive and pass some of these schools, there are parking spaces there. Everybody, it's like a supermarket, everybody wants to park at the front door, run on, run out. And, you know, it is accidents waiting to happen. There's a lot of responsibility down to the parents. I know, having for years speaking to board of management in schools, they have enough to contend within the four walls. As I say, they don't want to get involved or fall out with parents outside. But I most welcome St. Bridget's. They have, I've actually seen a map now where they actually drive in around the school, drop off the children and exit. So you won't have 10, 20 cars sitting on the road. A lot of complaints I was actually getting in Conway was actually from the local residents, local priests many years ago. All the gateways, driveways were blocked. You're ducking and diving and running around between cars and parents and doors opening. When actually you have big car parks there, we're able to, it's a bit of management. I know St. Bridget's, I've actually seen them, somebody sent me a map there during the week of it. Now, like Conway, the main street, we have another joint national school in the main street in Conway, and that in itself is a big issue. Every day through Conway, there's just not enough room for two lines of traffic to go through. And many of the time I spoke to engineers, but I wouldn't leave it to engineers.
So what is the plan then in terms of safety crossings? Where two schools are, you would expect there to be safety crossings. A, you'd hope it slows the traffic down, which helps cars pass each other, but B, for the children's safety. Are you saying, and I'm sorry if I didn't pick up on it, are you saying that that will happen? It's part of ongoing plans at the moment?
Yeah, some bridges applied way back a couple of years ago. It was advertised 2-3 years ago under the Department of Transport for all schools to apply under this scheme. And then that's come out and designed, and there's quite a big budget there for doing up the whole round the entrance to the school, about pick-up, drop-offs, road crossing, traffic lights, whatever it takes. Instead of doing it one-off, these are very good, well-designed. And I know definitely St. Bridget's. I'm not sure if the Joint National School on Main Street in Conway, but it's certainly one that there are. I know of a number of schools that should have applied for it, and for whatever reason they didn't. And hopefully there'll be another round. But within our MD, outside St. Bridget's National School at Town Parks is in that scheme. The next one being designed in our area, as I say, after Rafal, and then Cheshire Neal. The Main Street in Conway is a different kettle of fish. There's just simply not enough room for two cars to pass. That's where you've...
Yeah. I was contacted by...
I
know this is sort of maybe outside of the council's remit, but I was contacted by a few... two or three people actually now that happened upon NTA officials doing surveys of schools on main roads, effectively, if I could describe it like that there. And some were suggesting that we could be seeing more temporary speed limits applied in some of these schools. Has that come across your desk at all? One person mentioned they were hoping to have it done by the end of the year.
Yeah, look, it is. There's a couple of things they're looking at. They're looking at bus stops and within a lot of our towns, like Kilgarden, Kilfin, Lifford, and throughout the county. And this is property, not just bus stops, bus shelters, because it's ridiculous in this time and age. And also they're looking at the national primary roads at outside schools. This is an ongoing thing. The whole thing about flashing lights, as you remember back some years ago, the National Roads Authority paid for them, whereas the other schools on the country roads, that was an issue between the school and the county council. Council had to step up there and work with the school. Mm. So you'll always see the national roads will be catered for a lot quicker and better.
Okay.
But I do welcome the initiative for Conway. It's slow going. So regards the other issues about speeding and getting through it, that's not going to be easy to deal with through traffic.
But until we start dealing with things like that in our towns and villages, it's going to hinder development. You know, we're talking about the need for extra provision of houses and all that kind of stuff. But unless our road, water and power infrastructure is up to scratch, nothing's going to be fit to be done because, you know, it would be very hard as a planner to look at an area like Conway, and I'm just using that as an example, and sort of say, yeah, it can take an additional, you know, 200, you know, social and you know, types of houses, because that's going to be one of the biggest barriers to this government or any government reaching their targets, I think.
Yeah, it is, and unfortunately, sometimes we get the developments before we get the necessary infrastructure. I've been raising this several times at RMD, particularly about conveys, about the houses going in there. Now, most of the houses at the moment, convey are planned or social housing. We have now asked that there be no more gratis for social housing, whether it's voluntary or council housing, until there would be a health check done on convey. Basically, this is
So just recap, say that again. Who is, the councillors have said there should be a stay on...
I am particular.
Sorry, you said there should be a stay on the provision of housing in convoy until...
Social housing.
Right. That's amazing that we're in that situation.
It's something that I said many years ago, but happened many, many years ago during the Celtic Tiger and the boom, when all the building was going on everywhere. It was actually builder-led, not demand-led. And a lot of people, when they couldn't get enough land or plan there, they were jumping out into convoy, very convenient land. And if you look at the amount of developments on it, it's not too far into there, Kenny. But what I said as well, it's easier to get planned in convoy that doesn't have a town plan, that isn't Balfe, Donegal Town, Moncran, or there, Kenny, and they have town plans. There's more restrictions.
Right.
All I'm saying is it needs to be what you said a few months ago. It needs to be planned. We need to look at the infrastructure.
Okay.
And what that man said as well, we need to look at the schools, we need to look at the doctors, and we need to look. But convoy has an exorbitant amount of housing coming at the moment. We have agreed now, based on our numbers, our needs, and our wants going forward for quite a few years, and I can tell you they've stretched the point. It could be up to, 50, 60 houses with a waiting list for first preference is 24. Now, told that there are a lot of people there at Kenny have down convoy for the second and third, but I've said, look, we need to work with a very good group in convoy, the Convoy Community Environmental Group, and I would like the council to sit down and sit with them and look at the needs of convoy. This needs to be needs-led, not development.
Okay, just a bit of feedback in Castle Finn here. New lights in Castle Finn, Greenway. A caller says, it needs speed ramps or something as you approach them. Since September, I had two instances where cars have drove straight through the red light while I was on the crossing. My five-year-old was nearly killed. So that's someone with real experience in that area.
That's the same as, again, Letterkenny, Belfay, any traffic lights. That's why we need the Gardaí. The council puts in the infrastructure. It's up to the Gardaí and only the Gardaí to monitor and do something. We need to get them out of the stations, out of Letterkenny station during the week, and out round the rural back roads and everywhere else. The public need to see a presence there, not just walking up and down the main street in Letterkenny. That's a lot of people are potato. We need to get them out around.
Councillor McGowan, thanks for your time. Do appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
You.
Councillor Patrick McGowan there. Staying on the roads too, a lot of people are perplexed at these, well, I think people get the message now. You know these signs where it's like five lines? There's not actually a speed limit on it. And obviously the RSA were conscious of the fact that nobody had a clue what was going on. And they spent a fortune on ads, on radio, on TV, on social media as well. But one thing I noticed... in the vehicle I'm driving at the moment, it has sign post recognition. So that if you approach a 50, it goes to 50 and warns you if you exceed that, 80, 100, etc. But it doesn't pay any heed to these signs without a number on it. And I'm just thinking, in terms of giving drivers a fair crack of the whip, that seems a gap. Now, is that a gap in the software on the car that I'm driving, or have you noticed that yourself? Because all of these roads aren't sort of little tiny tracks with grass going up the middle of them. Some of them are actually, the main roads people use to get to and from places or where Google Maps might send a driver for an example. So I'm just wondering if it's unique to the vehicle I'm driving, or have you spotted that too, that the signpost recognition software that's in most new cars now doesn't seem to recognise these five or four diagonal black lines, which again... not great, I suppose. Just a quick one before we take a break, and then I have my next guest on. Hi, Greg, could you please bring to light what the hell's going on in Letterkenny University Hospital? I have a loved one awaiting a scan after being admitted to the ED yesterday at 5. They still have not been seen. There are people scattered everywhere on stools and trolleys as far as the eye can see, with just two doctors on and 10 cubicles to treat patients. We've seen many patients overnight in obvious discomfort give up and just go home. Surely this cannot be the norm. unfortunately, giving up and going home, it may not be the norm. It happens an awful lot, and we actually have the figures in relation to that. We were speaking about this yesterday. Former general manager Pat Harvey, he seemed to blame the EC to think that internally they could be doing stuff. And he seemed to be suggesting that, you know, the various arms of management could come together and look at this. And he says the priority should be what's going on, why are people waiting so long, and what can we do to limit that number, to not accept waits of 7, 8, 9, 10 hours, but to say we need to get people seen in 1 or 2 hours. He believes it can be done. As I say, he's the former head of Northwestern Health Board, former manager down there. So what is going on? I can't answer that question. If I could answer that question, I would click my fingers if I could and make it better. Now, we're joined on the programme by Eamon McPartlin, who's patient advocate and the Neurological Alliance of Ireland board member. Good morning, Eamon. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, good morning, Greg.
We Thanks are talking. It's great to talk to you. We're talking on a very important issue, actually. It's the lack of neuro rehabilitation teams in Donegal, and there is a concern that this is having a very negative impact on people with neurological conditions. So, what is, I suppose, explain to us who would avail of these services and what gaps are there, Eamon, so we have a full understanding of the topic.
Yeah, perfect, Greg. So the community neurorehabilitation teams are to be accessible to anyone with a neurological condition. So that could vary from someone with an acute onset condition like acquired brain injury or stroke, or to those with more progressive conditions like Parkinson's, MS. I myself live with a condition called functional neurological disorder, which is known as FND, and it would be a condition that would benefit from multidisciplinary treatment, which would be available at these community neurorehabilitation teams.
There is a difference in access dependent on where you're living, and unfortunately we find ourselves again here in the Northwest where the cover and the services aren't equal to where they are in other parts of the country.
That's exactly it, Greg. So I live in North Leitrim, Greg. And unfortunately, I can't access the small community neurorehabilitation team that's based in Ballybuffet in Donegal. And we know there's even long waiting lists for people in Donegal to access that team. So that team would have been set up 10 odd years ago. And the truth is, outside of the Donegal area, very few people in the Northwest would be aware of that team. It's a very small team of 4 healthcare professionals, where the recommended size of the team is 12 healthcare professionals. So it means that even those that maybe just, we'll say, on the Leitrim side, the Donegal border, who I know of people who may have their GP in Bundoran, unfortunately can't access the team in Ballybuffet, even though they're only a half an hour away.
And that's because of capacity, Eamon, is it? Yes, it's because it's not...
That's exactly the issue.
Right.
That's exactly the issue. There just is not capacity. And that's what we've been campaigning on through the Neurological Alliance of Ireland at the event in Leinster House last week, is to get funding to expand that team to the 12-person team.
Because in terms of a commitment by government to deliver and fully fund community neurological rehabilitation teams across the country, that commitment's already been made 5 or 6 years ago. So really it's a case of following through on that commitment, delivering on that promise.
That's it, Greg. It's very frustrating. The Neurological Alliance have been campaigning on this, and a lot of patient advocates in different corners of the country. The frustrating thing with the expansion of the team in Donegal is that it was due to be in the HSC estimates last year and unfortunately never proceeded, and it's not in the HSC estimates for this year. So what you have, as you mentioned there earlier, you've got a postcode lottery. We've got some parts of the country who have access to these teams. There's 4 new teams coming on board. Now, one of them will be in the west in Galway, but for those in the northwest to travel to Galway to access a team, and again, the demand in, we'll say, Galway, Roscommon, Mayo will be exceptional once this team is in place there. It means that those in Donegal that are on waiting lists, and then those in Sligo, Leitrim, who can't get access to the Donegal team, have no access to community neurorehabilitation for the foreseeable future.
Now, unfortunately, through acquired brain injury or through stroke, there is a constant constant need, right, which is growing all of the time. And then you people in your situation, Eamon, whereby it's sort of you're seeking ongoing rehabilitation for an existing condition. How do we know how those demands are being? Do we know how those demands are being met? In other words, with the resources that are there, do newly acquired brain injury, for example, patients, are they prioritised? People with a stroke, whereby in the early stages of their recovery, I presume rehabilitation is key there, versus someone like yourself with a functioning situation. I mean, how do you curate, or how do you work out that kind of a waiting list, I would, you know, with an understrength team?
It's very challenging, and I suppose that's how important the community new rehab teams will be fully expanded. Is because the reality at the moment is, Greg, is that you have no acute new rehabilitation in the Northwest in inpatient services. So those with acquired brain injury would get treatment in the National Rehabilitation Hospital. But the reality is someone like myself with functional neurological disorder or someone with Parkinson's wouldn't get access to the National Rehabilitation Hospital because it's not an acute, usually onset condition. There may be some acute forms of SND, but it may be a gradual onset condition.
Understood.
And the challenge is, as you say, how you prioritise a condition over one another.
Well, you will always be back. You might feel that you may always be back of the list, no matter how long you're on that list.
There is a frustration there, Greg, but I think if we can get the teams expanded to have capacity, that's which will allow the change. Because even in my own condition, FND, is that early intervention is key. Mm. And unfortunately, I couldn't get the National Rehabilitation Hospital. I'd go through the Treatment Abroad scheme to get to London. So I got assessment in London, and I'm waiting for a virtual program 3 years now.
Wow.
In London. So, and that's through the NHS. So there's a number of other people in the country in similar positions, mm-hmm. that can't get access to rehabilitation here, that have to go through the Treatment Abroad, but that's a long process to get access to treatment. So by expanding these teams, it gives more capacity, but also it means that people have treatment locally,
mm-hmm.
because there's a massive toll in relation to travel, cost, personal support that's needed for that, to have to travel from the Northwest to Dublin, for example.
Okay, with all that in mind, as you say, you know, the government had already committed 6 years ago to deliver 9 fully funded community neurological rehabilitation teams. As part of this campaign and the demonstrations last week, has a commitment to that been reiterated? Has any commitment been given to, you know, reinvigorate in this area? Like, what are you hearing back as part of this push?
Yeah, so we met with the Minister of Disability, Hildegard Knopton, and we met with the Minister of Health as well the next day, Jennifer O'Carroll-McNeil. And the feedback is that they understand how urgent these teams are required to be funded, but it's getting that approval for funding, because there's a frustration where something can be approved, and then when it goes through the process, we don't actually get action coming out the other end. So at the moment, there's 4 teams in the country due to go live in the next month. There's one existing team in Limerick being expanded, but that leaves 4 locations in the country, including the Donegal, Leitrim, Sligo area, without an expanded team or no team.
Okay. And you have to feel for the smaller team based in Donegal here. The workload must be enormous, and it must be very frustrating as caregivers and with an interest in making people better, improving their lives, to not have the team around you to deliver as you would want to. I'd imagine it makes for a frustrating, if that's the right word, working environment. Eamon, listen, thanks for making us aware. I do appreciate it. Sadly, unfortunately, it is another situation where we seem to be disadvantaged purely because of our rare code. But who is to say that maybe it might be addressed? We hope so. Eamon, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Greg.
Eamon McPartland there, patient advocate and the neurological and a member of the Neurological Alliance of Ireland board. We do appreciate his time. Greg, can you find out what kind of a mess is the council making of the Mill Bridge in Buncrana? I haven't seen it. Maybe it's not a mess. Maybe it's ongoing works. You can't make an omelette without cracking eggs. Maybe someone locally can tell us what's going on there and what the situation is. Hi, Greg. The government advertised the humanitarian assistance scheme during the last storm. The first stage of the scheme was a non-means-tested payment to cover the cost of meals, clothing, gas stoves, etc. Applications were to be submitted to your local community welfare office. 6 weeks have passed since the storm, and yet many payments have still not been issued in Donegal. Why have payments not been issued? Applicants in some cases have not even had a reply to the Department of Social Protection, who process the scheme. We've asked the department for an update. The lady also that joined us in relation to that was very much across that situation as well. We might retouch base with her to see if there's any update locally in that regard. And just one quick announcement before the break in the weather. Buncrana Community First Responders, their first AGM is taking place on the 13th of March, which is in 2 days' time. It's at 8:30 p.m. at the Castle Nicol Resource Centre. That's the training base, as you might be aware. Everyone is more than welcome to attend and find out statistics and what all they've done in their first successful year in operation. Buncrana Community First Responders Group, send that info on to us as well, please. I'd be very interested in that, if you don't mind. I'm sure if you're making it public at that AGM, you wouldn't mind passing it on either to me on my socials or send it in to us, just to recognise what you're doing in that short space of time. Right, OK. Just listening to the roads debate, the statement made that the Gardaí are the only people to police the roads and junctions. If a junction doesn't have sufficient road signs, and if there are continuing problems regarding incidents on any road, then this shouldn't be recognised as a roads policing issue only. I was wondering what maybe guards listening might think of that. You also have to have the right infrastructure into police, don't you? Hi, Greg. On the issue of crossings, there is a crossing on the main Buncrana to Coghill Road at Westbrook Bridge, which is dangerous. It's effectively a speed bump with zebra markings on the top. Approaching the crossing, sides of the crossing are marked as a speed bump. It's only when you get very close that you can see the zebra markings on top. There are tiny signposts either side of it, but the symbols are so small you can only make them out when you're beside them. This crossing needs flashing orange lights either side so it can be clearly identified as a crossing. If you're walking past that, would you take a couple of pictures and fire them on to us too? Because as they say, a picture paints a thousand words. So I'd be very interested to see that. It doesn't make sense. It seems like I can see exactly what you're talking about, that you need to be close before you see the crossing on the top. And what is the status of that? Is it a pedestrian crossing where the pedestrian is the right of way? I'd love more information, please. Highland Radio, hello. Drive over the Mart Road in Stranola from the Finn Valley Centre and see what your car will tell you then. At the top of the recycling road on the left, the car states 5k, not 50k or 30k. All right, okay, that's in relation to the automatic sort of indication of speed. Good morning. Is the council going to update stop yield signs on back roads? It's dangerous because people are confused about right of way on smaller roads. Again, I'm trying to think if I got an experience of that. It's an interesting one. Again, we need signage, don't we? We need to have the best chance of staying safe. St. Mary's in Stranola, cars parked on curbs out on the main road, both sides of the road, right up to the traffic lights every single day, says a caller. It shouldn't be. Are there alternatives? Can a traffic management plan be put in place? I don't know. I refer to your press query, Road Safety Convoy, an outline here under, the council's response to same, and it is getting shorter. The correspondence admitted on behalf of one of your listeners has been received directly, and the council will respond directly on the sender. I hope we're not falling out with the council, are we? Because are we falling out with them? The press department are getting very truncated in their responses. We appreciate it nonetheless. I want to go give them a big hug. We'll be okay, won't we? Hope it's not over the of coverage of the fire service story. We'll try and get an update by way of a meeting between fire service personnel in Letterkenny and local authority members last night. It wasn't allowed to happen in the fire station. They actually had it outside. But we heard yesterday, late in the show, a very pointed press release from the council stating that they weren't happy with some of the claims being made by fire staff, and they'd be speaking to them over the next couple of days. Be very interested to hear the nature of those conversations as well. Good morning, Greg. There is a rehabilitation department based in St. Connell's for people who had a stroke and other type of physical therapy being offered. I was mindful of that in that conversation. I'm not sure what the crossover is. But you know what? Just to make sure that anything we're putting out there is fully accurate, we'll dig a little bit deeper into that just to find out what services are offered in Ballybuffet versus what, as you mentioned, there is in St. Connell's, because there's great staff doing really hard work, and I certainly wouldn't want to dilute that in any way, shape or form. Regarding the Mill River in Buncrana, the bridge, the council is making a new footpath for The council is making a new footpath for pedestrians and wheelchair users. It'll be made one way as well. Okay, so that's good, isn't it? Because that's been coming up for years. We covered that a few years ago, and we had the video footage and all that kind of stuff. So that's fantastic. Great. When there is progress and positive news, get it into us. We want to platform that too. Okay, we're going to take a break. The news and obituary notices are on the way, of course. Coming up after that, we'll have Community Garda information. I believe it's Garda Grania in studio with us today. That and so much besides. Don't go anywhere, and thanks for tuning in.